Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning I want to talk about practice. So things you have to do over and over again to get better at. What are some of the things that you practice in your lives? Patience, good one.
Climbing.
Climbing, like climbing trees, climbing, what else do you climb?
Monkey bars.
Monkey bars, great. What else do people practice?
Sharing,
practicing sharing. That's a tough one.
Music,
musical instruments, piano, violin.
Singing.
Food, practicing food.
Singing.
Karate, great. Lots of other things too. Maybe you have to practice batting, right? Maybe you practice a dish until you get it like perfectly right. But the idea is that you have to do these things over and over to get better at them. Like baseball, exactly. Those guys, yeah, great. I noticed that someone did not say the following: practicing being Christian. Or practicing prayer. It's just interesting, right? Here we are in church, and even in church, we don't think about what it means to practice being a Christian. But if we think about it, being Christian is a practice, right? It's not something that you get good at right away. You've got to do it over and over again. That's why monks and nuns have a rule of life, things that they have to practice to live a religious life. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, when we're singing all kinds of hymns about the Spirit and walking with Jesus all the way, I thought it might be a good idea to think about the practice of being a Christian. So I like to think that I'm a practicing Christian. Right? You probably like to think that you're a practicing Christian. We're working at it. We're striving for it. And Sundays like today, when we have a baptism, they're great because we get to welcome new members like Julian into our community of practicing Christians. And we are also going to get to renew our own baptismal vows, right? We get to restate what we need to do as Christians, continue in the apostles' teaching, resist evil, love our neighbor, strive for justice. You know all those lines, right? This clearly helps us to practice our Christianity. We say it aloud, in unison, and it helps us to know what our goal is, right? Yeah. And yet saying something isn't doing it, right? Like saying you're going to go practice batting isn't going to practice batting. Amen? So journalist and author Malcolm Gladwell, he writes about practice in his book Outliers. I don't know if anyone else has read that. And he cites research that shows that talent and intelligence and family advantage really do make a difference in who gets to the top of their field. But really it's about practice, specifically 10,000 hours of practice. I know. So before the Beatles made it big, they had performed 1,200 times in small clubs in Germany in the early 60s. Did you know that? They basically had 10,000 hours of rehearsal time and live shows before they ever came back to England and were an overnight success, right? Bill Gates' mom, in 1968, brought him home a computer when he was 13 years old, when hardly anyone else had a computer, had touched one, never mind having one in their garage. And he proceeded to play around with it and program on it, uniquely getting him ready to be the founder of Microsoft. So 10,000 hours. Now, my whole life, I've come to church just about every Sunday with my dad. That's 52 Sundays a year, plus a couple extras for Christmas and Ash Wednesday, for about 50 years. And yet, even with all of that church time, I'm still about 6,000 hours short of 10,000 hours of practicing being a Christian. Anybody else like that? Yeah. So, as important as our collective corporate worship is, I sure hope that I and we have been practicing being Christian at other times, right? So, when is it that we practice being Christian? I'd say it's just about every day when we show our love. Amen? And not just when it's easy to love either, right? It's easy to love little babies like Julian, especially when he's looking so cute and adorable. It's easy to love someone in those early weeks of romance, am I right? When hormones lead our heart. It's easy to love people who are easy to love, or when we're in a good mood, or feeling strong in ourselves. But what about loving folks who are challenging or difficult, or stubborn, or at times, other times when it's harder for us, maybe when we're not feeling particularly strong? And I think our reading from Acts talks about this. The disciples are together, right? It's a couple weeks after Jesus has risen from the dead. And the Spirit comes, giving them the power to communicate with all these different tribes of people, all these Jews from every nation. And this is so unprecedented, so crazy, that everyone who observes it is amazed and perplexed and actually thinks that they're drunk. Did you catch that? With new wine. And so Peter says, no. It's too early in the morning to be this drunk. But actually, says Peter, it's even crazier than you realize. Because not only are we communicating across differences of language and tribe, but men of Judea, listen up. That line is in there. Men of Judea, listen up. Your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men, your kids like right here, are going to have visions. Your old men, they're going to have dreams. And your slaves, men and women, they're going to speak the truth of God. Did you see all that in there? Can you imagine how crazy that must have sounded? 2,000 years ago, in a system when only adult men in the prime of their life had the societal privileges of power and public position, all of these people were going to have the Spirit fall on them too, fall afresh on them too, and be able to practice following Jesus. That could not have been easy, right? Bringing together a community of different genders and different ages, free and slave, those disciples, they were up against it. But that's what they were called to practice with the Spirit's help. And that's the kind of expansive love we today are also called to practice. It's not easy. Amen? Last week, here in our parish hall, we trained our incoming Be Safe senior staff in our Be Excellent model of restorative justice that we use when we're working with kids. If you want to see the purple cycle chart, it's up on the wall in there. Our trainer, Jeremy, talked about how much time it takes to really use the model, one that's based on love and reconciliation, not prizes and punishment. He said it was hard. He said it was something we needed to practice because it's countercultural, different than what many of our teens and adult staff and maybe we ourselves have experienced, different than how a lot of other schools or programs are working with young people. Some people look at what we're doing here as Christians, how we try to practice this sort of expansive love, radically including people from every tribe and religion and age, and they say we must be crazy. And I say, no, we're just trying to practice what it means to be Christian. And if you've noticed, now more than ever, our communities, our country, and our world need people like us to be practicing a crazy, drunk, radically inclusive kind of love like this. Amen?
Amen.
Acts names, and Maria did a phenomenal job pronouncing, all the different nations of Jews. Amen for Maria? But what tribes could we name today? Liberals and conservatives? Right-wing nuts? Socialists? Immigrants and Americans? Confederate rebels, Northern Unionists, feminists, and incels. Anybody else got some names for the divide we have right now?
Young and old.
Young and old.
Gay and straight.
Gay and straight. You get the idea, right? What, pro-life and pro-choice? Amen.
People of color and white people.
People of color and white people. Our differences in political belief and what tribe we belong to, they're pulling us apart, making us an increasingly divided union. But those of us who want to be practicing Christians, who want to live out our baptismal vows, who want to bring this kind of radical love into the world, we have our work cut out for us. Amen? Yesterday at the end of the Pride Parade, I was there, a couple other people were there. The crowds were huge and joyful, which was reassuring and amazing. And I have to say, I was feeling a little boxed in, a little claustrophobic, so don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. I jumped the police barricade from the really crowded sidewalk into the relatively empty street, and immediately and coincidentally, I bumped into a friend of mine with her 4-year-old son, and her kid had on a shirt that said, "Be kind." And so I asked her, "Do you think that kindness is something that you can be, or is it something you choose, something you have to practice?" And she said, a little theology in the 750,000 people, a little philosophy as we walked the last steps to City Hall Plaza with its rainbow balloons. She said that it is by practicing kindness that we become kind. It's by practicing kindness that we become kind. So on this Pentecost, may tongues of fire rest upon each of your heads, everybody here, and may we go out from here into the world to practice love, to practice a radical, inclusive, countercultural love, even and perhaps especially with people whose ideas we find challenging or wrong, even with those for whom it is hard to love and where it tries our patience, so that the Spirit can dwell within us and that God can be in us and that we can become and be Christians. Amen.
Amen. Amen.